This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salim tasliman kathiran. Amma ba'd. Carrying on from yesterday, and just a quick recap of the hadith that we took last week, or yesterday, sorry, and that was related to some of the types of fasting. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in some cases that one is better than the other. The best type of fasting is the fasting of Dawood alayhi salatu wa sallam. He used to fast one day and he used to break one day. Then you had one before it, which is lesser in greatness than the one of Dawood alayhi salatu wa sallam, is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As to fast one day and to break 2 days. And then you have a third one, which is like fasting the whole year, is to fast 3 days of every month. And that is the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. If a person now misses these 3 days, is he allowed to fast in any other 3 days inside that month? According to Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast these 3 days, he never used to care exactly when it was. So some of the ulama, they looked at this hadith in Sahih Muslim, and they said if a person can't do the 13th and the 14th and the 15th, he can do it any other 3 days. Ask to fast every single day to do better than what is mentioned in the hadith that was regarding Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam to fast one day, to break one day. This is not allowed and it's not permissible. Because the Prophet said, لا صوم فوق صوم داود. There is no fast for the one that tries to do a fasting more than Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. So to fast every day, this is not permissible. This is not permissible according to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said. And our religion is ittiba. It is following, it is not logic. Someone might say to himself, the Prophet done this, I'm going to try and do better. Rather the ibrah is that we do what the Prophet done, how he done it and when he done it. In the exact manner, so we obtain the best reward in that particular action. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the perfect example. Our logic, our brains are not better than the brains of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on to hadith number 206 in this book of Umdatul Ahkam, and 207, the Ibn Ja'far, that he said, I asked Jabir ibn Abdullah, سَأَلْتُ Jabir ibn Abdullah, أَنَا هَا نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ سَوْمِي يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ قَالَ نَعَمْ. Did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prevent and prohibit fasting on يوم الجمعة? This whole chapter is about now, is it permissible for a person to fast on يوم الجمعة, on Friday? And the second hadith, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يصومن أحدكم يوم الجمعة إلا أن يصوم يوما قبله أو يوما بعده. A person should not fast on Friday, on the day of Jum'ah, except if he was fasting one day before or one day after. Here the whole issue is about fasting on يوم الجمعة, is it permissible, is it not permissible? These are hadith you find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited it, to fast on Yawm al-Jum'ah. But it's not as clear as apparent as we see it. The more intended purpose is here to specify fasting on Yawm al-Jum'ah. Because it came in another hadith, لا تختصوا ليلة الجمعة بقيام من بين الليالي أو بصيام من بين الأيام. Do not specify the day of Jum'ah or the day of Friday to fasting or to doing Qiyam al-Layl.
The Prophet told us not to specify it on that particular day. But if a person now was fasting maybe one day before, or one day after, it is permissible. For example, now, the 3 days that we were talking about yesterday, the 13th and the 14th and the 15th. Imagine now on the 14th, it is Friday. And there's a great virtue of fasting these 3 days. If it falls on a Friday, and it was from our normality, our normal times that we used to fast, in this case, it's permissible. It is only prohibited now, I come out of nowhere, I don't fast the whole year, or I don't fast the whole week, I come on Friday and I specify that day for fasting. This is what is impermissible. This is what is not allowed. But if it was from your normality now, you used to fast one day, break one day, fast one day, break one day, and it fell on a Friday, then this is no problem. The only problem and prohibition is to specify that particular day. And for example now, leaving of an action, it's very well known in Usul al-Ilm, to leave off an action because the Prophet ﷺ left it off, a person is rewarded. According to the ayah, you have a perfect example in the Prophet ﷺ. Like leaving off the nawafil, the supererogatory prayers, when you are traveling. There's no proof or no evidence that the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed nawafil. I'm talking about the 4 rak'at before Dhuhr and the 2 after, or the 1 after Maghrib, 2 rak'at after Maghrib, and etc. Because the Prophet left it off, and if you leave it off, you get rewarded. Because why the Prophet ﷺ left it off? And you made the intention of leaving off. So for you to leave off fasting on Friday because the Prophet done it, and he left it off, then this person is rewarded according to the ayah in Surah Al-Mumtahina. So I hope the issue is clear. Moving on to the next topic, which is the fast on Eid day. Is it permissible for a person to be fasting on Eid day? Hadith number 208. Sa'd ibn Ubayd, he said, شَهِدْتُ الْعِيدِ مَعْ عُمْرِ بْنَ خَطَّابِ. I was present on Eid day with Umar ibn Khattab. This is the kalam of Sa'd ibn Ubayd. Then he said, Umar ibn Khattab, هَذَانِ يَوْمَانِ نَهَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ عَنْ صِيَامِهِمَا. The Prophet prohibited a person from fasting on these 2 days. يَوْمَ فِضْرِكُمْ مِنْ صِيَامِكُمْ وَالْيَوْمُ الْآخَرَ تَأْكُلُونَ فِيهِ مِنْ نُسِكُكُمْ. The Eid al-Fitr, that day, and the other day, which is the Yawm al-Adha. This time, a person should be eating from his nusuk, meaning from his sacrificing animal. Here we understand from this hadith that it is impermissible for a person to be fasting on Yawm al-Fitr and also on Yawm al-Adha, because this is a time of celebration for all the people and all the Muslims, and also to preserve the unity and the togetherness of the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, As-sawmu yawma tasawmun, وَالْفِطْرُ يَوْمَ تَفْطُرُونَ وَالْأَضْحَى يَوْمَ تَضَحُونَ. The fasting is the day when you all fast together. And you break your fast when everybody is breaking it together. And you have Eid when everybody is having Eid together. And because the Prophet ﷺ specified this day for a person to eat from his sacrifice, everybody should be doing it and nobody should be going against what the Prophet ﷺ done. Whether you do Siyam al-Dawood, all the other types of fasting, when you break one day and you do one day, or you fast one day and you break 2 days, it is not permissible in any case to be fasting on Eid day, even if the 3 days of Ayyam al-Bid fall on this day. Because a person should be eating from a sacrificing animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَارِسِ الْفَطِيرِ, and eat from a sacrificing animal. Ayyam al-Adha is very well known that we do a sacrifice, and it is recommended for him to be eating from this sacrifice. And also, Hadith 209 is from the same category. نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صوم يومين الفطر والنحر وعن الصماء وأن يحتبي الرجل في ثوب واحد وعن الصلاة بعد الصبح والعصر. Here is the same meaning when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not fast on Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And he prohibited the Sammah. Clarifying what the Sammah is, meaning to pray while this issue of Sammah is taking place. You find in some cases, the closest examples that I can explain from an English perspective point of view, when a person comes out of the bath, in normal cases he has one towel around his whole body and he's holding onto it like this. In this case, the Prophet ﷺ prohibited a person to pray in this way. When he's holding it with his shoulders or he's holding it with tight on his thing and he feels very, very tight and he can't move his hands around. This is the Sammah that the Prophet ﷺ he prohibited. And also the other thing called Ihtiba, this issue about Hadwa. You find that the Arabs sometimes when they're wearing one cloth, they will sit like this. They'd be sitting like this and they got something around their legs. Sometimes you find that the awrah is showing. The awrah is showing in this particular case. You find a lot of people when they read the Quran in the Arab world, they use this hadwa. But their bodies are covered. Their bodies are covered. If the body is covered, this is no problem with it. But sometimes you have that the Arabs, they would not be wearing anything under. They only have maybe one thobe. And if they start like this, their awrah will be showing. The Prophet ﷺ, he prohibited this act. And the other thing that he prohibited was to pray after Fajr prayer and also after Asr prayer. But this issue is very, very long. You have many, many ahkam relating to it. If there's a hajjah for a person to pray after Fajr, maybe Tahiyyat al-Masjid, or he's missed the two prayers, then he can do it. But the whole issue is long. And now we're in the chapter of Siyam, maybe another time we'll explain this issue. And the last hadith before we enter into the ahkam of Laylatul Qadr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said on the authority of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi sabilillah, ba'ada Allah wajhahu anil nar, sab'ina kharifan. Whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah makes his face far away, or puts him far away from entering into the hellfire, from the hellfire. Sab'ina kharifan, and this word kharif, if you go back to the Arabic language, it can mean two things, and the ulama have said this, it could be spring. We have four seasons in the year, winter, spring, summer, what was the other one? Autumn. You have these four seasons inside the year. And one of them is called kharif, which is spring. Some of the ulama, they said 70 seasons, a person's face will be put away from the hellfire. And some of them, they said 70 years. So whatever meaning it is, it's a great fadil, it's a great virtue to know and to have and to also be feeling when a person is fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the chapter of Laylatul Qadr, the three hadith in there, we'll be taking some ahkam and then hopefully we'll be speaking about Laylatul Qadr more next week. Hadith 211. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه أن رجالا من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أولوا ليلة القدر في المنام في سبع الأواخر. There were some companions and also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم they saw in a dream regarding ليلة القدر in the last 7 days. Some of them saw one day, some of them saw the other day. So the Prophet said, فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرى رؤياكم قد تواطأت في سبع الأواخر. I can see that the dreams they have agreed for the last 7 days. So all of them had different kinds of dreams, but in the last 7 days, all these dreams they agreed with each other and they came together. So just to show you that there's more of a chance that the Laylatul Qadr is on the last 7 days. So the Prophet then said, فمن كان متحريها فليتحراها في سبع الأواخر. And whoever wants to search and also obtain the reward of Laylatul Qadr, then let this person search for it in the last 7 days. And the second and third hadith are in the same ma'na, the same meaning. Hadith Aisha رضي الله عنها, hadith 212, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَحَرُّ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْوِتْرِ مِنَ الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ. Try and search for the Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 days and the odd days of the last 10 days. And the last hadith, hadith 213, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه that he said رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعتكف في العشر الأوسط. Before the last ahkam came down, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be i'tikaf, which is to devout yourself inside the masjid and not be going out except for valid reason, in the 10 days in the middle of Ramadan, maybe from 10 to 20. That was before he started doing i'tikaf in the last 10 days. فَاَعْتَكَفَ عَامًا. So for 1 year he done this. He was doing i'tikaf between day 10 to day 20. حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَتْ لَيْلَةُ إِحْدَى وَعِشْرِينَ وَهِيَ اللَّيْلَةُ الَّتِي يَخْرُجُ مِنْ صَبِيحَتِهَا مِنْ اِعْتِكَافِهِ. Until it was the 21st day in that first year, he came to the morning where he had to leave. قال من اعتكف معي فليعتكف العشر الأواخر فقد أريت هذه الليلة ثم أنسيتها. Whoever done the i'tikaf in the 10 days in the middle of Ramadan, then let this person do i'tikaf in the last 10 days ago. Because I was shown a dream of Laylatul Qadr, but I forgot it. وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي أَسْجُدُ فِي مَاءٍ وَطِينٍ مِنْ صَبِيحَتِهَا فَالْتَمِسُوا فِي عَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ. I saw myself in the dream prostrating on teen and ma, on the mud and also on the water. So he saw in a dream that he was prostrating on the floor. So he said, try and look for it, the Laylatul Qadr, in the last 10 days. وَالْتَمِسُوا فِي كُلِّ وِتْرٍ. And try to search for it for the odd numbers. فَمَطَرَتْ السَّمَاءُ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَةُ وَكَانَ الْمَسْجِدُ عَلَىٰ عَرِيشٍ. So it started raining on that night. And he was standing in the masjid trying to seek shelter, and the rain was still coming through, because at that time the roof was made out of nakhla, which is the palm tree. فَوَقَفَ الْمَسْجِدُ فَأَبْصَرْتُ عَيْنَايَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَعَلَىٰ جَبْهَتِي أَثْرُ الْمَوَطِينَ مِنْ صُبْحِ 21. So I looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abi Sa'id al-Khudri is saying this, and there was mud and also water on his forehead, because at that time it was raining and he was prostrating. You have many, many narrations of when exactly the Laylatul Qadr is. He came in one narration, look for it in the last 10 days. إِلْتَمِسُوا فِي عَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ. That's one narration. Here we understand there's a chance of it being in the last 10 days. Then it came in another narration, إِلْتَمِسُوا فِي عَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ فَمَنْ ضَعُفَ أَوْ عَجِزَ فَلَا يَغْلَبَنَّ عَلَىٰ السَّبْعَ الْمَوَاقِيرِ. Try and search for it in the last 10 days. But whoever becomes weak, then try and search for it in the last 7 days. Do not become lazy in trying to obtain it in the last 7 days. So here it's more specific from the last hadith. The second hadith makes it more specific and tells us the last 7 days. Then he came in another hadith, إِلْتَمِسُوهَا فِي الْوِتْرِ. Try and search for it in the odd days. So this hadith makes it more specific from the last 7 days. It's very well known in the ilm al-usul that what is more specific takes precedence over the general. So the specific hadith takes precedence and you prefer it over the general hadith. And the hikmah, why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not inform us or specify that day? There's a whole story behind it. A whole story of how it was forgotten. And the story is in Sahih Bukhari on the authority of Ubad ibn Salit radiallahu anhu, when he said, خَرَجْتُ لِيُخْبِرَكُمْ عَنْ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدَرِ فَتَبَاحَ رَجُلًا. I came out to inform you of Laylatul Qadr. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew when the Laylatul Qadr was. But he said, فَتَبَاحَ رَجُلًا. Two people started quarreling and disputing each other, arguing. So what happened? فَنَسِيتُهَا. Because when the people they started quarreling and disputing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forgot when exactly the Laylatul Qadr was. So he said, عَسَى يَكُونَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ فَرُفِعَتْ. It was raised, it disappeared, and perhaps it might be khair for you. The whole issue here, that the issue of quarreling, disputing, this issue was lost. And you can understand from this, the dhamm, the defaming and the unpraise of the issue of quarreling and disputing. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned a very important statement. He said, إِنَّ الْمُمَارَى تَقْطَعَ الْكَائِدَ وَالْعِلْمُ النَّافِعِ. Disputing and arguing, it removes the faida, the benefit. And it also is the cause of the knowledge disappearing. It's very important that we know. Going back to past experience of where I was studying and the people that I saw, you'd always find a minority. They would be very, very busy in arguing, disputing. One fitna will come, they become very, very busy regarding it. They become very, very indulged. And you'd always find the majority, they'd be very, very busy in seeking knowledge. These people that were very busy in quarreling and disputing, they never ever benefited. Maybe years, you leave your country, you home, you go all the way to a place studying, they'd be very busy with this topic of disputing and arguing. The point is that it was the cause that they never learned anything. As for those people that were busy in knowledge, that were busy in seeking knowledge, they all benefited. And you find this in many places that you go. There's always that minority, because I've gone to a lot of places, I've gone to Yemen, went to Medina, seeing the students there. You always have that minority who are busy with this stuff, and in the end of the day, they never benefit, or they cause any sort of benefit for themselves or for their people. And you find that if you go back to the Quran, the Sunnah, you have three types of argumentation. Not in every case is defamed. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi mentioned this in the topic of Hajj. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat, faman farada feehinna al-Hajj, fala rafata wala fusuqa wala jidal. Whoever goes on Hajj, then let this person of dispute, causing jidal and things like that. But Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi mentioned a very good elaboration and showed that not in every case it is bad. And he has proof for every single occasion. You have the first occasion, for example, now arguing over something that has absolutely no benefit. No benefit and no harm. For example, now why are you going on the bus? Why are you not going on the bus? You find in Hajj time, people, they become very, very stressed out because there's overcrowding and things like that. And you find a lot of arguing over a bus. Over the bus, people are arguing. Because you only have some buses there in Mina and Arafah and things like that. And people are arguing, people are going crazy, and sabr is very, very limited. You find this type of arguing that makes a person's hajj and his reward deficient. This case, it is not يعني, praiseworthy or anything like that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ مَنْ تَرَكَ أَنَا زَعِيمٌ أَنَا زَعِيمٌ مَنْ تَرَكَ الْجِدَالَ. أنا زعيم بيت من جنة من ترك المراء. I promise for this person a house in Jannah if he leaves off the disputing. وإن كان محقا, even if he has the right. So here you find a virtue, a good virtue of leaving off the jidal when there's no benefit. But in some cases it is praiseworthy. This is when you're disputing in order to bring the haq forward. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعدة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي أحسن. And call to your Lord with goodness and wisdom and argue with them in a good manner. This is when you have good usloob, good way and good etiquette in arguing with the people to bring the haq forward. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding the people of the book, وجادلهم بالتي أحسن ولا تجادل عن الكتاب إلا بالتي أحسن. and do not dispute with the people of the book except in a good way. Here in this case, it is praiseworthy that you try to explain to a person, you try to dispute with him in a very good way. That one is praiseworthy. And then you have a third one. You find some people, they argue in order to defend his batil, or to defend his falsehood. He knows he's wrong, at the same time he's defending his argument regarding this. And this is the worst scenario. This is the worst scenario. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَجَادَلُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُلْحِدُوا بِالْحَقِّ. They disputed upon falsehood in order to remove the haqq. This is the worst of the three. This is the worst of the three. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like them. When the truth comes to us, that then we start disputing and we start arguing just to put our claims and our falsehoods forward. Okay, just quickly three more points. What does a person say on Laylatul Qadr? It was narrated by Imam Ahmad that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, in waafaqtu Laylatul Qadr, what do I say? If I come on Laylatul Qadr, and I come at that time, what do I say? Like the Prophet he mentioned, Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you love pardoning, so forgive me. This is a specified dua that has been made specific, and it's a sunnah, and more recommended than any other dua that a person tries to do and make dua with, especially on Laylatul Qadr, whenever he has the ability. Inshallah, till next week, we'll be speaking more about Laylatul Qadr and the tafsir of Laylatul Qadr. I wanted to do it now, but I might prolong the people. People have things to do. Jazakumullah khair for listening. And we'll have our next week Wednesday. And we'll be trying to explain the ahkam of i'tikaf as well, which is, I think, on the last week, innit? Next week, Wednesday. Last 10 days. So it's munasib. And it's in accordance to what we are doing and the actions that will be going through. JazakAllah khair for listening. Barakallahu fikum. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Shukran. La ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.